I'm going to keep Richard up here because he's going to need a prop for the props.
Today in our sermon series, as Richard said, we're going to be moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But this transition has not been a short one. It's a very long transition for the Jewish people. The story of John the Baptist comes after a very long period of waiting. Now, I don't know about you, but waiting for Christmas always seems to be very long and then very quick. So next week is Christmas, but it seems that the time between New Year and Christmas, wow, that takes a long time to come, doesn't it? I feel very sorry for those people who have birthdays at Christmas, because you get all the excitement at once and then you've got to wait another year. So we've been waiting for Christmas over 300 and odd days, and suddenly it's here. And a few weeks ago, we sold our real Advent calendars, didn't we? I don't know if you bought one or whether you've got another more exotic calendar. They have lots these days. You can have ones with makeup in and chocolates and drink. I had a gin calendar last year. I'm saying no more than that. But what the calendar does is it counts us down. It announces Christmas is on its way. So today we have an Advent calendar. It's a big one. Okay. Now I'm just going to move slightly to the side if I can. And I'm going to, so that Richard can stand a bit more. I think I might have it on the floor. So we've got our own Advent calendar here. Now I'm going to need some children to help me with the opening of the doors, preferably ones that can read. But if you're a small one and can't read, yeah, you've got your hand up, get here quickly. I need six children.
Wow, I've got all six, okay, don't worry.
That's fine. Have a sit down for a moment, because everybody so everything to see that. So we're going to look at John the Baptist and see what is the meaning in the waiting, because that's what we've been looking at. Now, firstly, way long ago, there was a prophet called Malachi. And in the last book of the Old Testament, we hear that he says, this is from the Message version, so slightly different wording than perhaps you're familiar with. I'm sending Elijah the prophet to clear the way for the big day of God, the decisive judgment day. And then the Jews waited. They waited and they waited and they waited. Do you know how long they waited? Well, let's see. Who's going to open door one? Okay. Jack.
Oh!
400 years, and I think there's a sweet there. Sorry, 400 years of silence, absolute silence. For as far as we know, God said nothing to the Jewish people for 400 years. He didn't speak. Now, waiting can be very hard, and waiting on God can be even harder. But when you don't feel God is speaking to you, when it just seems silent, it's very hard to remain faithful. And that's what the Jewish people had suffered. They hadn't really remained very faithful because they hadn't heard God speaking. We have to remember that even when we're waiting on God, we need to be faithful, even if he seems silent. Because sometimes it does seem a very long time between New Year and Christmas, and sometimes it feels a very long time between God's promise and the thing that he's promised us. But this promise is so big. So what else do we get when we're expecting Christmas? What's one of the first things that happens? Who's going to open number door two?
I've got more sweets.
What does it say? Adverts. We start getting into Christmas advertising, don't we? We get loads of things on telly now. Who knows this one?
Holiday is coming.
Yeah, holidays are coming. Now, no, there's no...
I'm not advertising Coca-Cola.
It's just a really good advert. We're trying to say that we need to make an announcement about holidays. All the people on the television make announcements. Come and buy. Come and get. Come and have our product. God makes an announcement. He makes a big announcement in Isaiah.
Oh, that's too far ahead.
Sorry. He said, I'm sending my creature ahead of you. He'll make the roads smooth for you. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. This is again from the Message version. Advent is not supposed to be passive. It's not just sitting in our chairs and waiting. John the Baptist, a bit like that Coca-Cola advert, burst onto the scene. In an active way, announcing the coming of the good news. Just as then, as we wait for Christ's return, we're called to be heralds. We're called to be announcing the good news of God. Telling people, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus has come. So we're called to alert people to the good news, just like John did. Because we need to be prepared. What some of the other things that are going to prepare for Christmas? We've got door number three. Decorations. Yes. We like to make our house ready with decorations so people can see that we're ready for Christmas. And God promised through Isaiah that there would be this big coming of John the Baptist, that he would prepare the way. You see, you've got to prepare your house. People turn up crisp and there are no decorations. It's very bland, isn't it? Whether we have twinkly lights or a big tree or a small tree, we do something to prepare for coming of guests, for coming of people round who want to see those decorations. So we need to prepare for God. John was preparing. He didn't do building roads, like it says he's going to make a straight path. He didn't go out there and fill in the potholes, unfortunately. Shame. But he went into the wilderness, living and thriving unlike anybody else, because he needed to prepare by getting rid of all the world's trappings. And the thing about Christmas is there are more worldly trappings at this time of year than that there are any other time of the year. And it's easy for us to be, if you excuse the pun, wrapped up in all that the world has to offer. But what the story of John tells us is it's not about what the decorations are on the outside. It's about what's in our hearts. Preparing our hearts for Jesus. Getting rid of all those trappings. And so he went into the wilderness. He dressed in sackcloth and hairy shirts. Oof, makes me feel itchy just thinking about it. But we need to prepare for Jesus to ensure that he is the centre and not the world's trappings and decorations. What else do we use to prepare for Christmas? Who's got door number four? Food. Who's done their Christmas shopping for the food? Anybody got their Tesco delivery? Waitrose delivery? M&S delivery? Gosh, you're all going to be starving. What are we told John 8?
Look at John, what John ate. Locusts and honey.
The honey bit's okay, but I think if somebody came round to your house for Christmas dinner and you served up locusts and honey, who likes Christmas dinner? No, not really into it. What about the adults?
What do we feed ourselves with in this period of Advent? You see, by the simple austere life in the wilderness, consuming a diet of locusts and honey, John is conveying to us a message about detachment from the worldly pleasures. Because we need to be spiritually fed, spiritually transformed. We don't need food that comes from outside in the world. We need food that comes from God, His Spirit. And in Advent, we need to feed ourselves with the correct things so that we come closer to Jesus. Right, door five.
Songs.
Who's coming to the carol service tonight?
Yay!
We do songs now. This is where you get to join in as an audience.
Okay?
Not going to sing Mariah Carey. Okay? There's another song now. I'll put the words up. You'll know it. And if you sing well, I will throw some sweets into the audience.
They're getting the song.
Okay. Hang on. I'll get there in a minute. Okay, who's going to sing it with me?
You better not cry. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, he's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Did you sing it well enough? This is the question.
I can't throw them to the back. I'm not that good.
You can have one at the end.
We sing songs, but we sing songs to announce Christ. John the Baptist appeared in the wild, preaching baptism of life-changing that leads to forgiveness of sins. People thronged to him from Judea and Jerusalem and confessed their sins and were baptized. He wanted them to repent and be on the good list. He wanted them to know that God was with them. One of the things about repentance is being truly sorry. We've just done our confession. But at this time of Advent, it's a really good time, while we're waiting and proclaiming God's word, to think about our lives. What John wanted to do was to bring the Israelites back round to God from where they were. It's a change of direction. Do we need to change direction somewhere in our lives? Do we need to go away from what's wrong to what's right somewhere? Are there any things that are affecting our relationships? But there is someone who can help us. And that is where we come to door six.
Wrapping presents.
Who's looking forward to presents under the tree? Are you expecting anything particular, Nigel?
No.
No? Okay. And what presents are we wanting down here? Books.
Nice.
Well, that's a very worthwhile present. I don't think in my childhood I ever asked for a book, which is not terribly good indictment of me. I always wanted cash. Anyway. We all love getting presents. I'm going to let you put that down. We all love presents. Perhaps not so much if it's the 15th pair of socks. But even so, socks are very useful. But here John has come to announce the biggest gift of all, the biggest present. Our reading says that we are going to have the good news of Jesus. And we here now today know about that good news. And he will come again. This is the biggest gift the world has ever received. Instead of offering gifts of toys, John is offering the gift of preparing for Jesus, who's the source of all our forgiveness, love and joy. John was sent by God to help the Israelites prepare their hearts. He told them that Jesus would come to save them. Advent is truly a time for us for preparation. As we wait for the Lord's return, we're called to be active like John was, to call out to people with the message of the good news of Jesus, but to prepare ourselves for his return. It should not take an odd-looking fellow living in the desert to make us realise our need for constant repentance so that we can turn back and grow more with God. And if we've met the gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ, and worship him as Lord, we know how much we need him. And if you haven't, then Christmas is waiting for you. The greatest gift is waiting for you with open arms. Advent is a time when we see how great God is, because he's given us a Saviour whose birth we celebrate. You see, without Christ, Christmas is just M and S. Through Advent, we strive to prepare our hearts to identify places where our lives are not in line with God's will, to turn away from them and to get ready to celebrate Jesus when he comes again. As we prepare our hearts this season, stay focused on your Saviour and the blessings he provides. Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Advert, spread the gospel, decorate yourself with the Holy Spirit, put Jesus on. Food, feed yourself with the scripture and Bible. Songs, praise God every day for all that he has done. Presents, accept Jesus because he is the greatest gift God will ever give you. Advent is a time that challenges us to grasp John's disruptive spirit and to reorientate ourselves yet again with the Spirit of God so that we'll be ready fully to greet him both on Christmas morning and when he comes again. Amen.
Amen.
Did anybody not get a sweet? Well, I know you lot didn't. Did you not get a sweet? Did you not get a sweet? Okay. She got two. I've only got so many at the end. Right. I think Richard deserves first choice because he held the advent calendar up all that time.